Rick Emerson. He's back. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
And 37 seconds after the hour 12, and this is the month of December, the year of our Lord, 2002. Rick Emerson Show, live from the studio at the Hot Talk at 80KFDK in beautiful, lovely downtown Portland, Oregon. Yes? Matt's waving his hand at me. The hand you're waving at me means what exactly?
Just letting you know that there's a Christmas song queued if you decided you wanted to go that route.
Just in case I should decide to pursue that?
In case you wanted to pursue that.
All right. Well, can I just tell you, we've got so much news today. I'm going to talk about Lord of the Rings, too. Oh, yeah, I saw the Two Towers on Saturday. We've got that. I swear to God, we got like 3.5 hours of news. We're trying to... Lots of news, little itty-bitty sack to put it up. Coming up later on today, we got the top five, another edition of How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk. Richard Nunn from the WB will be speaking with. I'd say there's probably 60 to 40 against chance. We'll be talking to Jim Roop from CNN. We got a snuff watch coming up today. We got a hick watch coming up today. It's more than likely we have a battle watch coming up today. We have your phone calls. We have email. We're going to tell you all about the Rick Emerson Christmas show schedule, all the shows that are going to be happening later on this week. That is all coming up and all of that. So without further ado, we will get underway. If you want to get aboard, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. This is Jim Riley. He's in the KOTK newsroom.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
And this news is brought to you by Everybody's Garden Center. At the top of the news, another God-fearing family man is missing after his family is found dead on the Oregon coast. The bodies of 31-year-old Renee Morris, that's the wife and mother, 10-year-old Bryant, 8-year-old Alex, and 4-year-old Jonathan found in the Tillamook State Forest over the weekend. Sheriff Todd Anderson got to be on Good Morning America this morning.
We had the opportunity today to actually have Good Morning America down here today, and that allowed us to get the information out
well,
as far as Mr. Morris's picture and description as well as vehicle out.
Next, he may even be on America's Most Wanted.
We have been contacted by America's Most Wanted. We don't have anything planned or scheduled with them, but they've offered their services.
No, it's a lot more important.
There's no call from The View.
It's a lot more important to go on Good Morning America.
I would think so.
That seems
I'd have
like
to do the weather.
In case you're going to be fleeing on foot or in your SUV or something. And it's always in an SUV. I'll guarantee you, when they find this guy, who we should notice, he's not a suspect, right? He's a person of interest. Right.
Yep.
What the hell does that mean?
They're interested in speaking with
it. Yeah, they're interested in speaking with it because he looks suspicious, ergo a suspect, it seems to me. Anyway. So, let's all be on the lookout, shall we? Write down this information. 37-year-old Edward Morris, a person of interest, the husband and father, he's 6 feet tall, 200 pounds, driving a gray 1993 Dodge Caravan, one of those minivans that you go to soccer games in, with a license plate number WSH-171, with bumper stickers reading, Jesus and Luis Palau. Now, he may have pulled these off, so we
don't
know. Now, the Morris family lived in my neighborhood in St. John's, 9940 North Syracuse Street. Flowers and teddy bears, and possibly Anna Song, are arriving at that address at a feverish pace. The Morris children described as homeschooled and polite. Those two go hand in hand.
Oh, yeah, homeschooled and societally alienated.
Now, the family attended St. John's Wesleyan Church and was so religious, in fact, that Edward Morris, the father and person of interest, recorded this message on his answering machine.
We hope that the Lord is blessing you today, and we would ask that you would leave a message. But we were probably just not able to get to the phone prior to the voicemail.
Yeah, we're in the Tillamook Forest.
Thank you, and do have a good day. Bye-bye.
And remember, if you wash bloodstains 3 or 4 times, they just fade to a pale orange.
Only if you use all. Anyway, there's some other things going on here.
Wasn't the last guy...
wasn't the last person of interest in a story like this also some white Christian guy?
Yes.
But
he was from out of state.
Oh, yeah.
This guy's from St. John's, a little bit different.
And this is probably within sight of where you live.
Yes, it is.
So, excellent.
You never know.
All right.
Okay, so that's...
Grab me a rose off the fence.
All right. Fox News Sunday host Britt Hume concentrated on trying to compare Washington Senator Patty Murray's comments about Osama to Senator Locke's statements on Strom Thurmond. Now, for the record, Senator Murray commented a couple days ago that Osama is favored in the Middle East due to his charitable donations to schools and infrastructure, which is true, by the way.
Which is completely true, which is not...
And there's nothing wrong with saying that.
No, it's absolutely true. And I think it's actual. Not only is it true, yet not only is it an actual fact, it's a fact. It's one of those things that is actually known to be true.
Right.
But it's one of those things that we should probably talk about, too, because it's what... What was it Bill Maher was talking about? How after 9/11, the most popular children's name in the Middle East was suddenly Osama? Yep. It was in Pakistan. Mm-hmm. The most popular name for newborn babies, baby males in Pakistan was Osama. There was also known to be all kinds of Osama's shoes, Osama's pastries, Osama's widget factory, Osama's house of hoes. Everything was Osama because they love his ass over there. And so all Patty Murray did, correct me if I'm wrong here, all she did
was state the truth and the facts.
And speculate as to why Osama bin Laden is loved in that part of the world, which is though, even though he seems bent on killing Americans, he's always given stuff to those people, thus currying their favor.
Correct.
Which is just a fact, just the way it is.
So, Senator Joe Biden didn't get caught up in Hume's incorrect spin on this story. Let's listen to hear what really happened.
Senator Biden, what both you senators are saying remind me a little bit of the immediate reaction to what Senator Lott said. Different issue, of course, different arena, but a forgiving attitude toward a colleague who you feel, perhaps with some empathy, may have slipped up. But I wonder if a slip-up of this kind, portraying this man as a humanitarian benefactor and going on to say the United States, in effect, is something that can be tolerated in a member of the leadership.
The fact is that, as Dick just said, there are millions of dollars that have been funneled, tens of millions of dollars, been funneled through charities to people who think bin Laden is the person who is funneling it to them, is responsible for them getting it.
And that was the response. Now, Fox rewrote this story and put it down as firestorm against Murray.
And there's no firestorm against her. I'm certainly not a gigantic fan of Patty Murray because I don't view Patty Murray as being all that different from somebody like Tom Foley. I mean, they could have sort of seemed cut from the same cloth to me. But there's nothing she said that was inaccurate and much less inappropriate. There was just literally nothing there. And this is, you know what this is? This is totally the feeding the beast syndrome, where the Trent Lott story is done, and so they just need somebody else to pillory. They need somebody else to burn an effigy, and they've just decided to make it Patty Murray for saying things which we all know to be true. And I think it's also inaccurate of them to characterize it as a slip-up or as a mistake. Because if you heard Patty Murray's statement and then saw the little explanation she put on her website about it, on the government website for her office, she said that she knew that it was going to be controversial. She knew that it was going to cause a bit of a stir. But
it's insane. A firestorm is just Fox's spin on this, which is helpful for them. Anyway, Senator Orrin Hatch says the Democrats are brutal in their treatment of Trent Lott.
I have to say, I think that Trent Lott was very badly treated. What he said was wrong. He deserved the condemnation for that. But to infer from his comments that he wanted to go back to the days of segregation, gosh, give me a break. I don't think anybody in their right mind believes that.
Yeah, even though that's actually what he said, even though that was the implication of his actual statements.
Time for the Battle Watch.
Here's your Battle Watch from Monday on the Rick Emerson Show.
I want you to remember that no bastard ever won war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country.
Well, the first casualty of the Iraqi war is a French TV reporter, Patrick Bourret, was run over by an American tank covering a training exercise in Kuwait. His cameraman saw him get killed.
I heard some shouting and saw Patrick lying on some barbed wire. He thought that the tank was going to hit me, so he wanted to warn me, but the tank hit him instead.
So let me understand this. So the first casualty of what?
the Iraqi war actually hasn't started. This is the training exercise in Kuwait.
So this is the first. So this is the first casualty of us getting ready for a war.
Right.
And it's a guy we just accidentally drove over with a tank.
Yeah.
Wasn't this a case of the last thing to do? It's all blurring together now. Was it us that bombed Canadians a few months ago, or was it the other way around?
No, we bombed Canadians.
We bombed Canadians. Yeah. Let me understand this. Am I to understand that about 98% of all the casualties since September 11th that we've suffered in war have been suffered by anybody, have been us killing people?
Right, friendly fire.
Has there been anybody killed by non-friendly? There's been like one, there's been like three guys, right? They were those CIA agents.
As far as Afghanistan goes, I heard the total yesterday of 15.
All right.
So,
and we probably killed at least that many with friendly fire so far. Yeah. And how do you accidentally drive over somebody with a tank? I mean, they have windows, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they have you know, sort of a thing you look out to see if there's going to be some French guy in front of you. Did you see the headline on Yahoo News last night? This is totally... It's just people want to know what spin is and sort of what you know, how the media can influence things to put slant on things, and it's just with the way that they sort of play with verbiage and dialogue and words. The headline in Yahoo News last night was not U.S. kills a guy. It wasn't America accidentally runs over a French guy. It wasn't casualties due to American mistakes. It was American GIs pray for fallen journalist. It wasn't even that we killed him. It was that we were praying for him. I mean, the headline didn't at any point mention the fact that we need to pray for him because we're the ones who killed his French ass.
That's the French first French person we were at war 50 years ago in Korea, and GIs at that time were thinking what Christmas gifts to buy for their gals back home.
You know, I have the same problem every Christmas. What to get the girl? You go and ask her, you know, just in a friendly sort of way, well, what would you like? And they always say, oh, I don't need anything, don't bother. You know, if you don't get it for them, what the hell happens? So, girl, and goodbye, Jack. So first I go to my mother, then I go to her mother. And from about the 1st of December till the 25th, what shall I get and where will I get it and how will I get it? So usually... last minute shopping, the night before Christmas, I go out and pick up the first thing that comes to my mind. Something I've been deciding on all along, but boy, I'm telling you, is it a problem?
Yeah, this soldier has lots of dames to buy for.
Oh boy, that problem really bothers me because I have a lot of gals there to give presents to. Last minute comes, I just pick out one present and I buy them all the same kind of presents and I just distribute them all.
Oh, that's one way of taking care of it.
It's good to know that some things never change.
50 years ago. That's today's Battle Watch.
There's your Battle Watch from Monday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Americans play to win all the time. Americans love to win. Now we have the best spirit and the best men in the world. That's why Americans have never lost and will never lose a war.
All right. It should be noted that I just came in. I'm already just all sullen and besmirched this morning. I came in, and so the computer, I just now finally got the computer to reboot.
Yeah.
It was doing, you know, you get that thing where you get the blue screen of death for no readily apparent reason. You know what I'm talking about, where you get you're working on it, and the illegal operation window comes up, and then you close it, and then it just, the whole computer sort of shudders for a minute. You know what I mean there, where the screen sort of vibrates, and then it just goes to the blue screen with that off-white text, and then you know that you're hosed. Why does Microsoft, why do they even lie? Why do they even pretend that you have the option of continuing without rebooting? Why doesn't the screen just say, you're screwed, turn it off now and start over again? But even that, no, illegal operators, to continue working, click OK. There's no continuing to work. None. Zero. It's not going to happen. You can, and here's the other thing. Once you click OK on that illegal operation, it's just a matter of time until you have to reboot. I mean, you're doomed from that point on. You can sort of slog forward like a chicken with your head cut off, you know, but the machine is just teetering on the precipice of disaster from that point on. So as soon as you get that illegal operation, when you just... And then you have to go that whole scan disk thing, which seems to take longer every time you do it. Anyway, and now I'm back with that. My caffeine consumption's all askew today.
Let's talk about something to make you feel better.
Got all this phlegm going on in my throat. My voice all cracky today.
You just spit in the bucket. They emptied it.
Yeah. All right.
Who went to see Lord of the Rings? I did.
I did.
And I did.
And we all
did.
Saw it. Excellent. That's what I'm talking about.
And I was lucky to find a parking space thanks to the fact that I was driving a Cooper Midi and I Put it in, like, well, a little tiny space. I could have carried it in the theater, as a matter of fact, if I wanted to.
I finally actually, I'd never seen the car until yesterday. I saw your Cooper yesterday. That's a fine automobile. That is the ultimate Tim Riley mobile, by the way.
It's great because you can pull, like, UEs in little tiny spaces. And this time of the year, with a lot of parking at the mall, the tiniest little space, you can get right in there.
Oh, no, it's minuscule.
It's
like you're...
Put it in the elevator and bring it up here if I wanted to.
It is quite like driving a roller skate.
It's a lot of fun. But I have to give it back tomorrow because I'm getting a Mercedes.
You're such a dick. What kind of a Mercedes will it be, Tim Riley?
I'm not sure. But I am going to miss the coupe because I've had it for... Oh, about a week now?
Did you just call it the Coopy?
The Cooper.
You have a pet name for it?
Yeah. Anyway, I barely use like a quarter tank of gas.
Oh, well, it's like, especially coming on the heels of that Navigator, which is like 8 miles to the gallon.
Well, see, I only used half a tank of that, and it cost me $25.
So you got the, what did you have for Infiniti, and then the Navigator, and now you have the Cooper, and then you get a Mercedes tomorrow?
I believe so,
yes. What kind of a Mercedes is it?
I'm not sure. I'll have to ask Weapons Master Ian.
All right.
It's a little CLK 320 coupe.
Oh, it's just a little one.
Yeah.
Nice. What would you estimate that the sticker price on it is?
I'm going to take a shot in the dark and say somewhere in the 55 range, probably.
I hate you guys.
50 to 55.
Lower that a little. Don't forget, I got to park that unattended in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's worth about $8.
Well, that's okay.
Tim's neighbor.
Anna's song's going to be camped in your neighborhood for the next week, you know, so she'll be able to keep an eye on it anyway.
Follow the trail of tears.
Follow the trail of teddy bears. Mike in Oregon City.
I'm
going to
stop by and give her a rose.
Mike. Can we have Mike up there?
No, he's not.
Mike, what do you got?
Yeah, listen, man. Did you hear what Patty Murray said?
Yeah, I did.
You heard the whole thing, what she said?
I read the entire text of it, yeah.
And you don't find any problem with what she said?
She didn't say anything inaccurate.
So Osama has built hospitals and daycare clinics?
It's known.
Dude.
Hello? Do I get to answer the question?
All right, go ahead and answer.
All right. It's known that Al Capone did the same thing. Al Capone was routinely murdering and killing people all the time. But what he did is he curried favor with the common people by running from the authorities while giving money to the common people so they wouldn't turn him in.
Well, let me ask you this. Yeah? Don't you think as a senator of the United States, is she a senator, right?
Yeah, she's not allowed to tell the truth?
Yeah.
Don't you think that she should support the United States?
What did she say that was inaccurate?
I think that number one, I don't think Osama's built one daycare center in all of the Middle East. Mm-hmm. Okay? Number two, most of his money was spent on getting the Afghans through the Afghani war. Okay, because his ties with his family were basically cut.
I don't understand your problem with what she said.
I have a problem with what she said and the way she said it.
Which
number one,
what?
She's a U.S. senator, United States senator,
not an Afghanistani senator. She's not allowed to speculate that Osama has ever given money to the people over there.
So what is her point? What is she trying to convey to these kids?
The point
is she trying to convey that the people in the Middle East are just wonderful, that this is religion, that peace is a wonderful group of people?
She never said that. I mean, you keep asking, but you don't seem to want to let us tell you.
Oh, tell me quick.
Here is what she said. The question she asked, which is a valid question, is, because, you know, Osama bin Laden is insanely popular with the average person in that part of the world. And so the question she asked is, she said it is valuable to us in fighting the war on terror
to understand
why he is so popular with the average person over there. Because he's a bad guy. He's a guy who kills thousands of people, either directly or indirectly, and yet he remains very popular with the average person. And her question was, why is that? And the answer is that just like all kinds of mastermind criminals before him, and just like all kinds of thugs and felons before him, both in America and everywhere else, he gives lots of money to popular common causes while still engaging in lots of crime, which is a fact. And just because you're a senator doesn't mean you can't tell the facts.
No, I guess you can't tell the facts.
Well, then what is your problem?
My spin on it is that just as much as y'all talk about the spin on the right, I think this woman's coming from a spin on the left.
What did she say that wasn't true?
There's nothing inaccurate on what she said.
Number
one, Osama's not built a single daycare center. There's not one daycare center anywhere.
Noted Afghani expert Mike in Oregon City says
that.
Well,
dude, I was ex-military. I spent a lot of time looking at that area. This is a crock.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, you did, right? Obviously, you spent time in the Navy.
I'll assume that you have more knowledge than a U.S. senator.
No, you have more knowledge than a U.S. senator.
Look, I have no reason to believe that she's just making stuff up.
Well, let's see. She's a senator. Yeah. That's the first clue.
Okay.
Okay, there that went go. Nowhere.
It's Mike in Oregon City. Yeah. All right. Whatever you say. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. I need some Advil. It's Monday.
Maybe Lars. Yes, dollar in the jar! Star.
I thought maybe Lars' line was busy.
But anyway, I'll give you a dollar.
What?
Are you expecting a couple of guys from a band to show up?
I don't think so. Are they here?
Yeah, they apparently were at the front desk.
All right, well, we'll find out after this. All right, we'll be back. It's Rick Emerson, Sean Hot Talk, and 80K with the K. Here's the Kinks. Or 503-250-1080. All right, I'm calming down, getting a handle on things as of right now.
Can we all please be happy now?
Jesus, God. Well, it's just one thing after another today. And most of it, 90% of it, not even revolving around the show. Ever since the moment I walked in the building this morning, it's like one disaster on the heels of another disaster. And then that guy, that Mike from Oregon, I'm not going to dwell, but I mean, good God almighty. You know, Lord knows she has to be making it up because she's secretly an American. How do we know she's an American? Because she's a Democrat.
And she disagrees.
That's the other. She disagrees with what Ari Fleischer says every morning, and so therefore she must be fabricating it. It must be a tangled web of lies.
There's got to be something in the Patriot Act to haul her away.
We got this. Subject line, Rick, the caller was an effing idiot. Rick, anytime you wonder why this administration is getting away with absolute murder, just play back that call from Mike. That's the kind of thing that happens when someone is too dense to add one and one. They swallow lies like diarrhea from the tap, then burp and ask for more. And then that's from Richard, and then he signs it F-Matt with a bottle of K.O. Pictic.
This F-Matt is sponsored by Vancouver Pipe and Tobacco.
Okay.
Consider this the program that keeps you regular.
Anyway, time for the Hick Watch. Here's your Hick Watch for Monday.
Copenhagen makes me feel good. Copenhagen, the way I know it should. Well, I put a little chew in my mouth, go spitting, slobbering all around the house. Copenhagen, girl, makes me feel so good.
Here's your Hick Watch.
This comes from Tacoma, Washington. A fight over beer resulted in half a Tacoma man's ear being bitten off early Friday morning. The man said he got into an argument with his roommate when he saw her taking beer out of their house to her boyfriend's pickup truck. Her boyfriend became upset at the accusations and began fighting the 43-year-old, allegedly taking a bite out of the man's ear. It's unknown if that beer was finished or not.
You know, if you're going to bite somebody, don't go for the ear, because the ear is all cartilage. You have to do a lot of rending and tearing to get that ear off. Really, if you feel like you have to bite part of somebody off, it's best to go for, I'd say, one of the lips, maybe, an eyelid. You go for that webbing between your pointed finger and your thumb, maybe. It, nose or ears, you know, it's all tough, gristly meat there. There's nothing there you can really grab a hold of.
That's today's Hick Watch.
hell are you talking about?
Well, I'm just saying, from a physiological point of view, it's going to bite the ear.
You're going to start a cannibalistic cooking show on the weekend?
I'm just saying. You know, even Tyson, you know, had trouble going for the year, and that's, you know.
Oh, he got chunks out, though.
I don't want to hear about the chunks. You know why Mike Tyson cries after sex?
No,
because of the mace. Rick, one of my coworkers was a Middle Eastern studies major in college and spent a year in Lebanon. You might want to pass along to Mike in Oregon City that Hamas, one of the largest terrorist organizations in the Mideast, is known by the people in Lebanon for not bombing and killing, but for building schools, providing food for the hungry, and homes for the homeless. When the name Hamas is spoken, the first thing that comes to mind over there is not terrorism, but acts of charity. That is the absolute truth from someone who is an expert on Mideast culture. That's Janet. Which, none of which is to say that they're good people. That's not the point. The point is to say that it's what magicians call misdirection. That terrorist organizations and criminals, both in America and abroad, engage in acts of charity as a way to A, distract the people there from what they're doing in the rest of the world, and B, to keep the people from turning on them and to aid in their continued freedom. I mean, it's the oldest trick in the book. And whatever you want to say about Osama bin Laden, he's obviously a smart guy. It's just not to say he's a good guy. It's not to say you want to have him over for brunch and biscuits and whatnot. But he's a smart guy. And you know, the idea that if you say that, you're somehow un-American is just... I mean, to repeat the oft-spoken cliche, you know, that is sort of letting the terrorist win. When suddenly every time you say something like what Patty Murray said, you know, you're going to be taken out and figuratively lynched. Keith, you're in Portland. What's up?
Hi, Rick. Well, about Patty Murray... something that doesn't seem to be getting mentioned is, and I think I haven't seen her website, so I don't know if she addresses this, but when a guy like Osama bin Laden or Hamas do all these charitable things that, contrary to whatever Mike in Oregon City thinks they do,
yes,
I think Patty Murray may have been trying to suggest that we ought to have taken a lesson from the same playbook. If we had, we wouldn't be having so much blowback now.
And it's not even about a blowback. It's about when we go over to the rest of the world to try to fight a war, we're all amazed that they don't put out the welcome mat for us. And rightly or wrongly, it's because we're just... Because the United States has this tradition, and I think this is just factual. I mean, just notwithstanding the huge amounts of foreign aid we send to the rest of the world, which we do, we also have a long tradition of going over and effing countries up and then just sort of leaving. You know, we're like the guest who comes over and drinks a lot, pees all over your entertainment center, breaks all your good china, and then just goes home the next day.
Just so we could get our bananas out of our country and...
Exactly what it is. You know, hey, Vietnam, we're sorry about this napalm everywhere, you know, but we got to protect our Goodyear rubber plant. And then we just break everything and go home. So, you know, and that's not, it's not liberal propaganda. That's just kind of the facts. Anyway.
Let's take a look at the text of the president's Kwanzaa message. Here it is. I send greetings to those celebrating Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa celebrates the traditional African values of unity, self-determination, collective work, responsibility, cooperative economics, and purpose, creativity, and faith. I thought this was like a manufactured holiday.
I was just going to say, tradition and values, despite the fact that Kwanzaa was sort of created by some guy.
Like 10 years ago or something?
It was in like 64, 66. So. Some guy just sat down and they... You know what it is? And you all know that I'm not... You know, I don't want to sit and take shots at any particular religion because, you know, I'm, you know, being an agnostic, they're all kind of equally...
But Kwanzaa's not a religion anyway.
Well, no, but I'm saying, my point is about holidays, though. All of these holidays, be it Christmas, be it Hanukkah, be it Kwanzaa, you know, it's just Coke, Pepsi, and RC. That's all it is, man. It's just different labels on the same elixir, which you either like or you don't like. But everybody, you know, it's sort of like, you know what it is? You know what Kwanzaa is? And this is the same. This is the same for Hanukkah, and it's the same thing for Christmas, because they're all based on pagan holidays from before the dawn of man, back when Ray Don Chong was sitting around a fire anyway. All of these are. It's like how when Burger King came out with those chicken strips. Remember that when Burger King launched those chicken strips in like 1984,
yeah.
And then suddenly next year McDonald's had McNuggets, and then the year after that there was like Wendy's had some like chicken tenders or some kind. That's all it is. Christmas. Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, they're just the chicken nuggets and chicken tenders of the holiday world. You know, they're all piggybacking on, you know, the original snack, which was the pagans.
It says here, Kwanzaa is also a time for Africans and African-Americans to honor their common heritage by participating in events based on harvest gatherings called Butanda, Yi Kwanzaa, or First Fruits. Do you think he knows the opposite? Laura joins me in sending our best wishes for a memorable Kwanzaa and for peace, happiness, and success in the coming year.
That's exactly what everybody celebrating Kwanzaa wants there. They want greetings from Laura Bush. That's going to ring sincere.
Buy drugs and support terrorism. The new public service announcement have hit the airwaves. Listen.
Okay, so it's true.
What's true?
Drug money funds terrorism.
It is true.
Okay.
Okay.
Look, let's say I buy some dope.
Let's say.
Hypothetical.
Let's say.
Now, how much of my money actually makes it to the bad guy's hands? A couple of bucks.
$2.
$2. That's it. Peanuts.
So what you're saying is it's okay to support terrorism a little.
What is this?
Can I say that?
It's a... Buying drugs supports terrorism, the new public service announcements.
Yeah, okay. Whatever you say. You know what supports terrorism? SUVs. That's what supports terrorism. Not drug, especially depending on the kind of drugs you buy. Because depending, not that I'm advocating the purchase of drugs, but depending on the types of drugs you buy, the majority of that money stays inside this country anyway. You know what supports the war on terrorism is the war on drugs, because it diverts troops and money and manpower and thought power that we could be using to fight terrorism overseas by rounding up people here because they have the wrong kind of plant growing in their yard.
Hey, I read this at the check stand, the Inquirer, too. J-Lo is reported to have called off her wedding to Ben Affleck after a row with best man Matt Damon. This according to British Sky News. They report that Lopez canceled plans to tie the knot next Valentine's Day after Damon claimed she was a serial bride and tried to talk Affleck out of the wedding.
Well, this is her... is it the second or third marriage? This is her third marriage, right?
That's
the third or fourth.
Nah, I don't think it's fourth, though, but she was married to Chris Judd for like 9 months.
Oh, this is going to be her
right.
third.
And then she was married to some other guy before that, some dancer.
But it seems like she was married to somebody else, too, before she ever really got famous.
No, I'm pretty sure it's three. Quinn.
Yeah, so this would be the third.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, how appropriate is it that... Well, go ahead. I'll give my thoughts after this.
Anyway, the secret actress is reported to have said... It felt like there were three of them in the relationship. And she has told fiancé Affleck, it's me or him. She's already started early.
See, and that's exactly, this is totally a harbinger.
Yeah.
That Jennifer Lopez would talk to Ben Affleck and say, it's either me or Matt Damon. Because if that doesn't happen before the marriage, it happens after the marriage. You know what I mean? Oh, I'm going to go bowling with the guys. No, you're not.
And usually by the time the first child arrives, they're long gone.
Oh, no.
And phone numbers, they move 10 times.
And I'm not going to make the lame joke about the gay innuendo between Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, because I really don't think it's that. I think they're just dudes.
Yeah.
I think they're just boys, you know? And it's, as a friend of mine says, it's bros before hoes. And so you gotta, and Matt Damon is doing what most friends won't do. They won't step in and tell you that you're marrying some harpy, you know, or if you've got a girlfriend that's going to marry some guy who's just a louse, most friends won't step in and say, look, that guy you're marrying or the girl you're marrying is just a loser. And so Matt Damon is willing to bear the brunt of that by God love him.
Let's see, her PR people say they still love each other, want to get married someday, but the Valentine's Day ceremony isn't going to happen. So there.
All right.
You see that picture of Zsa Zsa Gabor in the front page of the Star?
No, I did not.
Oh, she's like...
she in a coma?
Yeah, some like
excellent.
Rotten old piece of meat, you know, underneath a blanket.
Zsa Zsa Gabor, a rotten piece of meat under a blanket. I got
the
new Inquirer where Britney looks all puffy and bloated on the front. Apparently,
the cocaine
tragedy, but I haven't read it yet, so I don't know if the cocaine tragedy is that she was doing cocaine. Here's the thing about cocaine. Not that you should do cocaine, because, of course, it's wrong, and it's illegal, and
terrorist.
It's bad for and it supports the war on terror. It supports Patty Murray, so you shouldn't. You shouldn't do cocaine. But here's the thing, is if you do cocaine, you just can't stop. It's not the doing cocaine that's bad for you. It's the stopping. Because then you blow it up like a Christmas turkey.
No, I think it's probably the doing cocaine is bad for you, too.
No, here's the thing.
No, the bloating is bad.
No, I'm just saying, you ever look at, like, here's another good example, heroin. And let me just say, for the record, don't do heroin. Heroin is, you shouldn't do it. It's illegal. It's something you shouldn't do. Heroin is not a toy, kids.
Right.
Stay away from it. When the man offers you the H, you just say no to that action.
All drugs are stupid.
Yeah, only dopes do dope. But, you know, heroin in and of itself will probably not kill you. Most people who take heroin, this is a fact, Most people who do heroin do not die from heroin. You either die from neglecting the rest of your bodily functions. You either die from poor hygiene and you go septic, or you die from an infected needle, or you die from malnutrition, or you die because heroin causes you to lose your job and you end up on the street and you get pneumonia and then you pass away that way. Heroin in and of itself isn't what usually kills people.
But don't a lot of people die from overdoses?
Well, you can overdose.
I mean,
but what I'm
from heroin.
You can overdose, but I'm saying that it's the things that come with heroin that cause a lot of death. My point was, though, you look at somebody like Jimmy Page. Jimmy Page looked fine all the time he was doing heroin, but as soon as he quit doing it, man, that's when he started to look bad. Jimmy Page looked great all the way through the 70s when he was just smacked out of his brain. But as soon as Jimmy Page stopped doing heroin, he started looking like a piece of gray fast food beef. It was horrible. I don't know what the deal was. You know what? Heroin sort of does this picture of Dorian Gray kind of a thing, where as soon as you stop, you age like 1,000 years in 5 minutes. It's like as soon as Bilbo lets go of the ring, he just starts aging all fast. That's what heroin is. It just artificially keeps you young until you stop, and then you die in like 14 minutes.
Oh, you know, you flap your wings and jump off a skyscraper or something like that, too.
That's only if you're Art Linkletter's daughter.
Oh, that's true, too. It's time for the Snuff Watch. This is a new version of the Snuff Watch by our good friends, the Night Watchers. These are some guys who listen to the show. They came on after the tour, Greg Wilton. But now, let it roll here.
This is a travesty. What is this?
It sounds rather funky, doesn't it?
We're getting our groove on. So these guys were good enough to pass along, again, the Night Watchers, the Portland band, good enough to pass along their version of the Rick Emerson Snuff Watch.
Well, some sad news here. Joe Strummer, the frontman for The Clash, whose 1979 track London Calling has died at the age of 50. The singer, guitarist, and songwriter died on Sunday at his home in Somerset. That's Western England, of unknown causes. Until they split in the 1980s, The Clash produced a catalog of punk classics, including Career Opportunity, Should I Stay or Should I Go, distilling the depression, anger, and energy of 1970s Britain. But they transcended the three-chord aggression to deliver messages of anti-racism and social consciousness. Strummer, the son of a British diplomat, wrote many of their biggest hits. Bono, lead singer for the Irish band U2, said The Clash was the greatest rock band. They wrote the rule book for U2.
Can I just say this, that Bono is the new Elton John? As soon as you die, it's only a matter of time before that guy shows up in front of a camera singing a song about you or talking about you or something. And do you ever notice that no matter who it is that dies, they were a huge influence on U2? Without them, we wouldn't be here today. It's like, no matter who it is, Bono is just circling the sky like some sort of carrion bird. And as soon as he sees a corpse, you know, he just zooms up. Joe Strummer, mister. That's who was there for U2. That's who inspired it, no matter who it is. God,
well, who
I hate
else
that
he
guy.
About?
Oh, just every single time there's somebody inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Remember when Bob Marley was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Bono gave that stupid ass-kissing speech about, you know, family man, herbs man, Rasta man, Jamaica man, you know, and just going on and on about how the Bob Marley and the Wailers were this gigantic influence on U2, which I can totally hear. I can totally hear that reggae influence on U2. I will say this about Joe Strummer. I'm not really a big Clash fan, and I know every time I say that, my inbox fills up with people who think I'm a big dick and all. Has nothing to do with punk or any of that. It's just that the Clash were not... They sort of deviated from pure punk a little too often for my taste. In my world, punk and ska don't really blend. If you want to play ska, play ska. Play punk, play punk. But the Clash sort of... That they did this sort of crossbreeding of it, which just didn't really appeal to my ears. But I do have tremendous respect for them because those guys stuck to their guns and they didn't cash in with the big cheesy reunion, and they did what they thought was good, and they made music that they thought was good, and they tried to raise a little bit of social consciousness, and they did the definitive version of I Fought the Law. So there you go. Joe Strummer, dead at 50. There's your Snuff Watch for Monday. The Night Watchers, local Portland band.
Tell the people who have died, died. Tell the people who have died, died. They're all my friends, and they died.
And
So Bored with the USA is one of the great punk songs of all time. Great sound, great production. So there you go. Joe Strummer. Adios.
All right. The late Walt Disney once cited church and prayer as inspiration for his professional success. Today, some conservatives believe Disney is crying from his grave. He's not buried, is he?
Well, Walt Disney? No, yes. He's cryogenically frozen underneath Disneyland.
Okay, so he's crying from underneath. Anyway, because Walt Disney World in Florida has eliminated its 28-year tradition of offering on-site religious services to Christian guests. The Orlando-based Disney Resort and Theme Park began offering regular weekend services back in 1975, but corporate officials claim the 35,000-acre facility can no longer accommodate 1,500 Catholic and Protestant families who want to go to those Sunday services. So they're now advising Christian guests to find other places to worship, some of which are miles outside the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, because that's exactly what reeks of religious taste and class, is to go to church at Disneyland. Right? Nothing screams simple, pure, humble Christianity like going to church under the Magic Kingdom.
A federally funded study has paid women as much as $75 to watch pornographic videos to determine what types of audiovisual erotica women find sexually arousing. Women participating in the $147,000 study at Northwestern University, funded by the Federal National Institute of Child, Human, and Health Development, were paid to watch a series of commercially available film clips, some of which will be sexually explicit. They'll monitor the body's sexual arousal, according to a flyer seeking volunteers for the study. It says, quote, "We have some really big results on it, and it's going to make a big splash," said a Mr. Bailey about the research he hopes to publish soon.
Yeah, all right. Why do women get all the good research gigs?
I don't know.
Here's porn for women. "That dress looks great on you." "No, no, no. You stay there. I'll do the dishes tonight. Can we go visit your mom? My two favorite things are commitments and changing myself." There you go. It's porn for women.
From L.A. comes word hundreds of Iranian other Middle East citizens were in Southern California jails after coming forward to comply with a new rule to register with immigration authorities, only to wind up handcuffed and behind bars. Shocked and frustrated, Islamic and immigrant groups estimate that more than 500 people have been arrested in L.A., neighboring Orange County, and San Diego in the past few days under a new nationwide anti-terrorism program. The arrest sparked a demonstration by hundreds of Iranians outside the Los Angeles Immigration Office. The protesters carried banners saying, "What's next? Concentration camps. What happened to my liberty and justice?" There are like 600,000
Iranians living. Probably Patty Murray's fault. This is Chris in Portland. What's up?
Hey, just going back to what you were talking about on the religious holidays earlier.
Yes.
Hanukkah actually is an original holiday.
In what sense?
After the Maccabean revolt against the Greeks, they had this lamp that was only supposed to have one day worth of oil.
That stayed lit for 8 days.
Yeah. So, I mean, they didn't, like, put it on someone else's holiday.
Well, no, my point is, though, that ever since guys, like, crawled out of the ooze, there's always been some guy, when winter comes, that they pray to the great snow god, or they're praying for a successful harvest, or they're praying that the big scary mastodon doesn't come in and disembowel them while they're hiding from the winter. And it just sort of seems that, you know, it's like Joseph Campbell's hero with a thousand faces. It seems like there is sort of one common holiday that has many different guises put on it through the years. That was my only point.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, it's exactly why the Christians...
I'm not trying to bust on Hanukkah or on anybody's holiday. I'm just saying, I mean, if anything, I was saying that we really are a lot closer to all being, you know, we're all brothers under the skin, to all being sort of one group of people, regardless of religion. That's why all the holidays seem to fall around the same times of the year. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's why they did it, so they could appeal to the pagans to get them to convert.
Yeah, I'm totally with you there, brother.
So,
all right.
That's just my area of study. So.
All right, there you go. There's Chris in Portland. All right, it's Tim Riley in the KTK Newsroom.
The Friends partnership has been extended. That's the first tune sung by the Friends folks this weekend as NBC announced a deal that would bring America's favorite sitcom back for another year. The agreement was signed early Saturday morning between NBC and the show's producer, Warner Brothers TV. It'll bring the Central Perk crew back for a 10th and presumably final season. Of course, that's what we thought about this season. The Peacock Network will pay $10 million per episode.
Is there anyone on Earth that wants to see a 10th season of Friends that badly? Not even Sarah. And you're their target demographic. You probably don't even want to see it. Do you even watch Friends?
I don't watch it. My mom watches it religiously, but it kind of annoys me. I don't really think it's funny.
No, it's really not. And
money could be used to rebuild Iraq.
That money could be used to build daycare centers in...
No, it's like, I always wonder if there's something wrong with me, if I'm missing some sort of comedy gene or some sort of humor chromosome when you watch. Did you ever do this where you try to watch some show that everybody else watches because you just think that there's something wrong with you for not finding it funny?
Yep, that's totally like
it's like Will and Grace. You got to see Will and Grace. It's the funniest. I mean, there's like two or three times I've tried to watch Will and Grace, and about halfway into it, I just start thinking, there's Drano under the sink. I could drink it right now, and this would all be over.
Well, that show used to be good. It's gotten absolutely horrible, though.
I can't. I can count on less than one hand the number of sitcoms on the air that I consider truly funny that I've ever seen. You know what I watched last night, which is, you know, one of the best sitcoms on the air that Carlin has talked about a lot that no one ever watches is Andy Richter Controls the Universe. Man, that Andy Richter show is brilliant. It is fantastic. It's right up there with Curb Your Enthusiasm. I mean, it's good stuff.
What else is on TV tonight? Let's look. Oh, the Utah Symphony and the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, The Gift of Music.
Man, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir is the bee's knees, though. You know, it has nothing to do with Mormons or Salt Lake. And the Mormon Tabernacle Choir is amazing.
I guess you're going to sing Christmas songs, doesn't say.
I mean, here's how great the Mormon Tabernacle Choir is. That I grew up Catholic, and we had all of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir albums because they're stunning. If you're ever in Salt Lake, if anybody here is ever traveling through Utah and you have a little time to go see some sights, go see the actual Mormon Tabernacle, the actual building where they perform. It is just jaw-dropping. The architecture and the acoustics in that building, they are stunning, unbelievable.
Can you go inside there?
Yeah, no, the Tabernacle, they're taking a whole tour through Temple Square.
Okay.
You'll get to see the actual temple, the temple.